You're listening to the New Community Podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope that this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Good evening. Oh my goodness, I love being here on a Wednesday night, midweek, with you. Well, listen, we've been in the book of Colossians for a few weeks. And Gerald, our teaching pastor that's normally here, he and a large team of Palm Valley folks are actually over in Turkey and Greece walking the steps of the Apostle Paul where he walked and where so many of these epistles took place. And I got a text message from him today, and he said, hey, fun fact. The team and I just was in the city of Colossae today. Right? So cool. So cool. So listen, I realize that in this room tonight, I know a lot of you. I've met a lot of you. We know each other personally. We call each other friends. And there's some of you that I haven't met. I still call you friends, but you really don't know me, and I don't know you. We've not had that privilege yet. So let me just tell you something about me. First of all, my name is Radonna. Now, I realize you probably just saw that go up on the screen as I walked up here. But what you don't know is often, Radonna's not a common name. And so usually when I meet somebody for the first time, and I say, hello, my name is Radonna, usually very quickly what follows that is, oh, wow, I've never heard that name before. Well, yeah, because it's kind of unique. My parents are here tonight somewhere, and really what happened is my dad's name is Ray, and my mother's name is Donna, and someone got creative and put them together. And I'm Radonna. So now you know something about me that you didn't know. But also, my last name is Dodge. And so I've heard a lot of things with that name. So was your favorite sport growing up dodgeball? Do you drive a Dodge vehicle? I've been called Miss Chevy before. Yeah, that's my favorite. And then a few years ago, and you'll know why in a minute, but a few years ago, I was at a restaurant. I ate my meal, and then I went to pay for it. And I guess they looked at my name on the credit card, on my card, and saw my name and said, Dodge, does your family own the Dodge Arena? Obviously, we don't call it the Dodge Arena anymore, so I don't get that question anymore. So, but anyhow, you know, names mean something, right? Names mean something. And so we talk about names and the meaning of names and stuff a lot. But tonight, I want to talk about a name. And we're not really just talking about, you know, when we're trying to name a baby and we're trying to figure out what to name it. So we look in that big book with all these names in it, and we try to decide, what am I going to name? And we find the meaning of a name, and we realize it's from Scandinavian descent or, you know, whatever. And we're reading it. That's not, that's important, and that maybe means something, but I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about the feelings that, and the thoughts that surface when a particular name is mentioned. You know, when that particular name that's mentioned and it just brings a smile to your face and a chuckle because you have good memories and you remember the funny things and the fun times and the things that happened with the name of that person that was mentioned. We're talking about that. We're talking about when that one name is mentioned and you just go, oh, and you just are so relieved because you know if that person is involved in whatever the situation might be, it's all going to be okay because that person is just consistent and they just got it. And you just know you don't need to worry about anything. They've got it. Those are the feelings I'm talking about. Or maybe it's that name that gets mentioned and you kind of raise your eyebrow and you go on high alert because that person is such a scoundrel, you really don't trust them at all. And it's those feelings that emerge. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, about a name. What is going on when we talk about a name? You know, the same thing is true in God's word, that names mean something. Names are tied to action, and action, when it's consistent, becomes reputation. And when we read through the Bible, we find over and over that God was establishing his name and his reputation through his people. There's something, if you could thumb through my Bible tonight, there's underlined places and portions in my Bible. And I promise you, we're gonna get to Colossians in just a minute. But there's places in my Bible that's underlined. And if you looked at it, you kind of went, I wonder why she underlined that verse. Like, that doesn't make sense. Let me tell you, there's a consistent theme through some of these verses, and I do it because I want to remember. I want to remember. And it's those verses that talk about the name of God being established, his reputation being established amongst people, and how he's doing that, and the people that he used to do that. And so, you know, as you thumb through the Bible, you know, I'm talking when all the plagues were coming against Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and God gave Moses a message to give to Pharaoh, and he said, I'm doing this so that you will know that there's no one like me in all the earth, and that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed on the earth, his fame. I have that underline. I have an underline that when Joshua was going to take the children of Israel across the Jordan River, and he was about to go and conquer Jericho, and scripture records that God parted the water again. He'd done that before, but again, he parted the water, and it says this, so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. We sang it tonight, not to us, but to your name be the glory. That scripture is underlined in my Bible over and over, for the sake of his great name, that the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Over and over, we read those verses, and I have those things underlined because I feel like it's important, and I want to remember that God was trying to establish his name and his fame, and he used his people to do it over and over through the narrative of the Bible. Now, let me just ask you this. Who is it in your life that you would actually trust to completely establish your name and your reputation to people you don't know? That's pretty huge. And yet God uses his people over and over through scripture to establish his name and his reputation in the world. I mean, he chose a man named Abraham, and he said, I'm going to bless you, and through you, all the people of the earth will be blessed, will receive my blessing through you. And that man became a family, and that family grew into the nation of Israel, and Israel became that nation, and God said, I'm going to give you a certain set of rules, and I'm going to give you some customs, and I want you to live by these things, because I want you to be set apart for a purpose, because I want to pour myself into you so that through you, I can make my name established to those who do not yet know me. And that just seemed to be God's plan all the way through. Well, eventually through that, there was successes and there were failures. But through Israel, eventually, through this line, there came someone on the scene named Jesus. And he was the embodiment of God himself, walking this earth. And Jesus chose 12 disciples. And from those 12, the church was birthed. The church of Jesus Christ was birthed. Really, the body of Christ, we call it today. And that church was to be the embodiment of the character and the nature of Christ. And that brings us to our scripture tonight in Colossians. I told you we would get here. But we are still in Colossians 3, and I want to read a passage and a scripture to you, and it is this. Colossians 3, verse 17. And so if you have your Bibles, turn there and let's read our focus verse today. Colossians 3, verse 17. And it's this. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then there's those verses that Gerald just processed with us and explained to us last week about the relationship between the husband and his wife and the parents and the children and slaves and masters. And he talked about that last week. If you missed it, get on the podcast and listen. It was amazing. But go back and listen to that. But so you get through those verses, and then in verse 23, he kind of repeats what he just said in 17. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. And so I want to just break this verse, and really focusing for right now on verse 17, I want to break that down just a little bit tonight. Because as I read that, it's pretty challenging, it's pretty daunting, that whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And as I read that, whatever and all popped up a couple times. Whatever you do. Well, what does that include? Well, whatever you do, do all. Whatever and all are just pretty all-inclusive things. And I started thinking about whatever I do, like my fun, my play, my work, my eating, my sleeping, my whatever I do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever I do, word or deed, it says. And to me, when I read that word or deed, my outward expressions, my words, my deeds, you see those things, my outward expressions. But then it says, do and all that is in your heart, whatever is in your heart, those inward motives, those inward things that you can't see immediately. See, whatever includes my outward that you see, and my inward that you don't see, my hidden motives, my agenda, whatever I do. It's pretty far-reaching. It's a wide sweep. And so, but how do we do the whatever? In the name of Jesus. And that's where I want us to really focus on tonight. In the name of Jesus. What is in a name? Just a name. What is in a name? And there's probably a lot of things we could talk about. I want to talk about three things tonight. Really, I want to talk about that there is power in the name, there's authority in the name, and there is character in a name. And so let's just talk about, what do we know about the name of Jesus? That we're supposed to live life, whatever we do, in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? What does that mean? And so what do we know about the power of Jesus? Well, Scripture tells us that his name is above every name. It's pretty powerful. Scripture tells us that at that name, one day, every knee is going to bow. That's pretty powerful. It tells us that demons tremble at that name. That's power. His authority. Now, when we first glanced through it, and when I first was thinking about this, I kind of thought power, authority, it's kind of the, but authority, I want us to think of it maybe in the context of his author, what he was authorized to do. Scripture tells us in John 8, 28 and 29, that Jesus said, I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has told me, and I always do what pleases him. Jesus was commissioned to do the Father's bidding. He was authorized to accomplish certain tasks. It wasn't just about what he could do. It was about what he was supposed to do, what he was being asked to accomplish, his authority, his authorization. Authority meant that he knew what to engage in and he knew what not to engage in. It meant that he knew, by staying in constant connection with his Father, what he was supposed to engage in. He knew it by his constant connection, because he knew that connection brought direction, right? Connection brought direction for his life. So he stayed connected to the Father, and he knew what he was to do and what he was not to do, his authority. And last, his character. And maybe we could say a lot about the character of Christ, but maybe just for our purposes tonight, we'll just take our description of his character from the verse in Galatians 5:22. We know it maybe as the fruit of the Spirit. Those characteristics, those qualities of of God himself that Jesus embodied. Look at him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That when he says, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, it's with his power, it's with his authority, and it's with his character. That's what he's calling us to do. That's how we do the whatever's in our life. And so I want to just look at that. If this is what we're called to do, and this is what the scripture is telling us, what is it? How do we do this? How does this apply to us? How does this apply for us to do all of this, the outward actions and the inward motives? How do we do it in the name of the Lord? So let's look at this. Live empowered by him. What does it mean to live empowered by God? Listen, the good news is it's not my power that I do the whatever in. It's in his power, right? I'm really thankful for that because there's just sometimes where my strength runs out. And I know that's true for you too. Anybody had one of those days where you just felt like, I can't do it anymore. Whatever it was, I can't. And I just want to come and bring some good news to you today that there's power in the name of Jesus. And we're called to live in his power. In his power. A strength that is greater than my own. What is it that seems too hard or out of control for you? Let me remind you tonight that the scripture says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can dwell in you and I. That's the power that we do whatever and that we do all of our life in is his power. His power. But once again, the scripture that we just read in John 8 a while ago that says that he didn't just do whatever he wanted to do. He did whatever he was authorized to do by his Father. It means that not only do we live empowered by him, but we too then, in the name of Jesus, are called to live with his authority, or maybe we can say under his authorization. That's what we're, how do we use our power? We use it in the way that he calls us to do, that power that he puts deep within us. Many thought Jesus would come and set up his earthly kingdom at that time, right? And yet that's not what he did. Why? Because while he had the power to do that, it wasn't what he was called to do at that time. And so he, in obedience to his Father, said, no, that's not how I'm going to use my power. And so contrary to what everybody expected him to do, he used his power to get on a cross and to die for you and I. Because that's what he was authorized to do. For us to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus means that every day we live to fulfill his agenda, not our own. Whatever you do, it's for him, for his glory. We sang it tonight. I often make it a prayer of mine, God, just give me wisdom so that I can accomplish your plans for today and wisdom to know what I need to walk away from. You know, there's just some conversations. There's just some situations. There's some activities that are placed in front of us as a diversion to keep us from accomplishing really what God is asking us to do. And our whatever has maybe encompassed some things that God really didn't call us to, didn't really authorize us to, you know. God's not asked us to be everybody's savior. He's not asked us to participate in every good cause that comes along, right? That's not what he's asked us to. He's not asked us to step into, in a deep way, into every single person's life. He's not asked us that. But he has asked us. Strategically, he has placed you in some of those places and spaces and with people where you are called to. And to those, that is your authorized place. And we step into those places in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. To those people and to those places, I want to encourage you that you step in there with purpose. Walk into that life with purpose, knowing that I am here on assignment by God. And you walk into those conversations, you walk into that meeting, you walk into that job, you walk into that position with a purpose in the name of Jesus. This is what he's called me to do. This is what I'm called to do. We do it all in the name of Jesus. But not only, we've all been in places where probably we can think of instances in histories or even in history or even in our own life where power and authority were abused. And so we don't want to stop just at power and authority. But when we come in the name of Jesus, he calls us not only with power and authority of Christ, but he calls us to live within his character. Within his character. And so we come with the character of Christ. That it's what we've talked about for the last few weeks, that putting off the old man and putting on Christ. We've talked about it a few times. And that's what, when we're called to do whatever we do in the name of Jesus, it is with his character. It is about us continuing to carve out that time and that space to posture ourselves before God and cooperate with the work that he is doing within us. His inward work that produces the character of Christ, that produces the love, that produces the joy, that produces the patience, and that we walk into those lives and into those people and into those places clothed with the character of Christ, empowered with God, authorized by him to be the embodiment of Christ in those places and those spaces. That's what we're called to do. You know, Paul was writing to the believers at Colossae, and I believe that his words serve as a reminder to us today that not only has he offered us salvation, not only does he work in our lives to make us holy, but he also wants to use us to establish his name and his fame on the earth, in those people, in those places where we walk, in whatever we do, in all that we do, in word or deed, with the motives of our heart, to go and to establish his name and his reputation in our worlds, in your family, in your home, in your relationships. Sometimes we're put in places and situations, and we're not there on assignment because we're there to establish the name of Jesus and his reputation in someone else's heart. Sometimes we are strategically positioned in places because God wants to reestablish his name and his fame in our hearts. Sometimes that's what needs to happen. But whatever we do, that we walk in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We've been given the awesome privilege of God to be his image bearers, to those that we come in contact with, the very physical representation of God himself. That's what we're called to do in the name of Jesus, right? Listen, verse 23 and 24 kind of restates the truth, and I want to read it one more time because not only did he say that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, but in verse 23, and the first part of 24, or the last part of 24, it says this: work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Jesus told the same thing, in other words, to his disciples when he says, as you've done it to the least of these, it's like you do it to me. Listen, sometimes we call this serving. Sometimes we call this ministry. Sometimes we call this worship, but whatever name you want to call it, it's what God has called every single one of us to. That as we are followers of Christ, we become image bearers and we are called to establish the name and the fame and the reputation of Christ in this world. And this scripture tells us that we do it first and foremost to an audience of one, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Are you discouraged with where you are? Turn your focus back to him. We're doing it for him. We're doing it for him. We're on assignment by him, not our own agenda, not in our own power, but by his, in the name of Jesus. So let me ask you this as we close. Are you living for an audience of one? How are you doing in your world? Are you doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus? With his empowerment, have you been discouraged? And maybe you just need to walk out of here tonight remembering, I don't have to do this on my own. call upon the name of Jesus, there's power. Are you doing it with his empowerment, with his authorization? Are you doing what he's called you to do and doing it with all your heart? Are you walking? Are you carving out time to spend time with him so he can pour himself into you so that you can do whatever with his character upon you? Are you doing it? How are you doing? Are you doing all as unto the Lord with the understanding that you're on assignment by God in your home, your job, your relationship, and you're here to establish his name and his fame? You know, tonight I want to conclude with a story. Can I read you a story? I want to read you a story. And maybe this will just seal it in our hearts. It's a story that takes place in a Manhattan skyscraper. Everyone in the building works for the CEO, who offices at the top floor. Most have not seen him, but they've seen his daughter. She works in the building for her father, and she exploits her family position to her benefit. One morning, she approaches Bert, the guard. "I'm hungry, Bert. Go down the street and buy me a Danish." The demand places Bert in a quandary. He's on duty. Leaving his post puts the building at risk. But his boss's daughter insists, "Come on now, hurry up." What option does he have? As he leaves, he says nothing, but he thinks something like, "If the daughter is so bossy, what does that say about her father? She's only getting started." Munching on her muffin, she bumps into a paper-laden secretary. "Where are you going with all those papers?" Well, to have them bound for an afternoon meeting." "Forget the meeting. Come to my office and vacuum my carpet." "But I was told, and I'm telling you something else." The woman has no choice. After all, this is the boss's daughter speaking. Which causes the secretary to question the wisdom of the boss upstairs. And on the daughter goes, making demands, calling shots, interrupting schedules, never invoking the name of her dad, never leveraging her comments with, "My dad said." No need to. Isn't she the boss's child? Doesn't the child speak for the father? And so Bert abandons his post. An assistant fails to finish a task, and more than one employee questions the wisdom of the man upstairs. Does he really know what he's doing, they wonder? The girl dishonored the name of her father, not with vulgar language, but with insensitive living. If she keeps this up, the whole building is going to be second-guessing the CEO. Let me ask you this. What if the story was different? What if the daughter acted in the opposite way? What if it went like this? Rather than demand a muffin from Bert, she brings a muffin to Bert. "I thought of you this morning," she explains. "You arrived so early. Did you even have time to eat?" And she hands him the gift. En route to the elevator, she bumps into a woman with an arm full of documents. "Oh my, I'm so sorry. Can I help you?" the daughter offered. The assistant smiles. The two carry the stack down the hallway. And so the daughter engages the people. She asks about their families. She offers to bring them coffee. New workers are welcomed and hard workers are applauded. And she, through kindness and concern, raises the happiness level of the entire company. She does not even mention her father's name. Never does she declare, "My father says." There's no need to. Is she not the boss's daughter? Does she not speak on his behalf? Reflect his heart. When she speaks, they assume she speaks for him. And because they think highly of her, they think highly of her father. They've not seen him. They've not met him. But they know his child. And so they know his heart. Do you want to know how the story ends? The daughter takes the elevator to the top floor to see her father. And when she arrives, he is waiting in the doorway. He's aware of her good works, and he's seen her kind acts. People think more highly of him because of her, and he knows it. As she approaches, he greets her with six simple words. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so, Palm Valley, tonight, as we go, I want us to remember, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. As we go out tonight, live your life to establish his name, his fame, his reputation in this world until we too hear those same words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. 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 So Palm Valley, let's go in the name of the Lord. You're dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.